doing. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke 16. And the Lord kind of just inspired this, laid this on my heart. And I thought, Lord, you are going to have to help us this morning. But I want to talk to us. I want to preach about hell this morning, but I want to preach to the church. Amen. I believe this will go to the church and to the lost. Amen. And I just want to preach to us about hell for just a little bit. Now, I know that that's one message that a lot of churches have gotten away from preaching, and a lot of people don't know much about it. But hell is real. Hell is real. Amen. And it may seem odd to you this morning that I want to title the message, Why You Should Go to Hell. Amen. I really believe today that if we would take a trip and somehow or another go to this God-awful place, it'd make better people out of us today. Luke 16 and verse 23. I'll tell you what, let's back up and read this story here of this rich man. Amen. Let's start with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you. Abraham was saying, Son, if I could, I'd get you out of that place. Amen. If I could. But he said, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have this morning. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to stand behind this sacred desk one more time and break the bread of life with your people. God, we stand in dire need of your touch. We're praying right now. Lord, not only conviction if there's one lost, but God, conviction to every person that's in this house tonight. Every cold, lukewarm saint of God, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would arrest our hearts today and set us on fire for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simply preaching this morning, Why You Should Go to Hell. I know that sounds a little different, a little odd. Amen. But I want to use your imagination for just a little bit and try, if you could, to think about the surprise that this rich man must have had when he woke up in hell. The Bible said that when he went to bed that night, that he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and it even goes on to say that he fared sumptuously every day. Amen. Every day was just getting and getting and getting and more and more. Amen. And everything, he was petted and he was pampered. That's all he knew. If he wanted steak and taters, he ate it. Amen. Whatever he wanted, it was his at his disposal to just go out and to get. The Bible said that he was rich, amen, and that's all that he knew. But suddenly, without any notice at all, the Bible said that he went to bed at night. I could see him, brother, amen, as he laid his head down on the pillow, amen. His clothing is the finest in the neighborhood. His home that he lives in is the greatest and stands towering over everybody in the neighborhood. Amen. He doesn't wear just any clothes, but they are purple. And in that day, amen, that meant it was a sign that he was very wealthy. And just he went to bed at night thinking to himself, the Bible doesn't really say what his name is. We'll just call him Ed. I don't know if we got anybody here named Ed this morning. If we do, amen, I'm sorry. But one day, old Ed went to bed, amen. And he just laid down and got to thinking about, amen, man, I've really made it. I've got more money in the bank than Joe the plumber and Joe the, amen, the farmer and everybody in the neighborhood. I've made it. But he looks out the window, maybe the moonlight, amen, shines down upon an old beggar who's laid out there at his gate, and the dogs have coming around, and they have more compassion. Isn't it amazing that we live in a day and hour when dogs have got more sense than a lot of humans do? Hey man, dogs have got more compassion than some people do. Hey man, they'll pass them on the street and will, you know, with no compassion whatsoever. Hey man, let people just slip off into hell and go to hell and don't even care. But the Bible said that there was a beggar that was laid at this man's gate and desiring just some crumbs that fell from his table. But the rich man went to bed that night. He had the world by the tail. But brother, when he opened his eyes, he didn't open them up to the sunshine of that day. He did not open his eyes up, amen, to see all the cattle and all the sheep, amen, that he had acquired. But the Bible said he awoke in hell. Amen. He opened up his eyes in hell. And no doubt he had heard about hell. No doubt, being the man that he was, he had heard the Old Testament prophets as they prophesied about hell. I believe that in anger, he may have told men to go there. Amen. There's been a lot of people that have told men to go to this God-awful place called hell. But brother, if you could get a glimpse of hell today, Abraham said, son, if I could, I'd get you out of there. I don't believe you'd want your worst enemy in hell. I believe there'd be some compassion that would want to get them out. Hey, but this man ended up in hell. And the Bible said that he opened up his eyes in hell. Now this is Bible. This isn't my theology, my doctrine, or anything of that nature. This is the Word of God. There is a place called hell. And I believe that the world forgets that. So I read one statistic where that only 60% believe there's a heaven. But we don't have but about 9 or 10% that believe in hell. But if you believe in heaven, you've got to also believe in hell. Amen. There is a hell. Hell is a doctrine in the Bible. Hell is not some fictitious place that preachers have made up to try to scare people. Oh, but I believe this man had heard about hell. I believe no doubt he had told people to go to hell. But while he lived, he prospered. But in death, he was bankrupt. Hey, man, the Bible said, what does it profit a man if he had gained the whole world and then lose his soul? Brother, when he died, all he had was a 6-foot of land this way and a 3-foot of property that way, and there he lay. Hey man, there he lay. All the money didn't do him any good. Hey man, all the automobiles didn't do him any good. Hey man, I made up in my mind. Oh, if I've got to, hey man, if I've got to live a pauper all of my life, I would rather live without a dollar in the bank. But you hear me? You can go to hell with $1 million in the bank, but you can't go to heaven unless you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and you. Sins have been remitted by the blood of Christ. When the rich man opened up his eyes in verse 24, the Bible said, he hollered and told Abraham, he said, I am tormented. Amen. I'm tormented in these flames. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 25, it describes hell with two words that we're really, when I think about them, especially as a preacher of the gospel, hey, it makes me shiver inside. In verse 25, hey man, hell is described when Abraham said, son, remember, amen. And that lets me know there's going to be memory in hell. Amen. The memory that walks with you right now. The memories of home. And the memories of going to church. The memories of your children. Oh, I look around. Amen. I remember when my children were first little. Amen. I used to think, I hope there never does come a day that my children feel like they're too big to come up and give me a hug. Amen. Or feel like they're too big to come and give daddy a kiss on the cheek. Amen. Hey, I love them. Amen. I've been a cuddle bug all my life, I guess. I just love them. But you hear me? Those memories. Amen. They're going to stalk us now. Amen. The memories that we have today, they're going to stalk you in eternity. Amen. You're going to remember, son. Remember. Oh, what did he remember? I believe he remembered every time he walked past that old beggar laying out on the street. I believe he remembered every time the preacher of the gospel came and said, you really need to surrender all to God. I believe he remembered every time he heard them Old Testament scriptures read. Son, remember. And friend, if you die and go to hell, and I'm preaching to people at church, I'm preaching to those of you that come here week in and week out, because you're listening to somebody that believes that you can go to hell from a church pew just as well as you can from a bar stool. If it's not in your heart, if you don't have it in your heart, hey man, you can die lost and end up in hell. I remember years ago hearing the story, and it's in one of the illustration books I've got at home, but it told the story of the old drawbridge operator who was told to keep the bridge closed until a train that came by. A train was on its way by, and the ship that came by hollered at him and said, I've got time. I've got time. Let me pass. And through the operator of that ship convincing this drawbridge operator that he had time, he raised the bridge only to find that he did not have the time, and the train crashed, and many people died that day. I don't remember the man's name. I didn't write it down. But they said that this man went into a mental institution, and they said until the day he died, you could walk by his room. Hey man, they had to put him in a straitjacket. It was too much for him. And he would say over and over, if I had only listened, if I had only. And I'm preaching to people today, hey man, and I want to tell you, I wonder how many are in hell on this Sunday morning, and what they're saying is, if I had only, if I'd have listened, if I would have prayed, if I would have sought God, if I'd only listened to the preacher, if I'd only prayed. I'm telling you today, amen, there's a sermon here. I want to tell you, it's possible for you to die lost right where you're sitting and go to hell. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. How many are crying today, if only? And the sad thing is to miss this for time, but oh, to miss it for eternity. Amen. To miss it for eternity. I believe it was Dantes who said that over the door of hell is a sign that is reading, all who enter here leave all hope behind. Amen. There is no hope in hell. 1 minute after death, the desire of a man to be saved is so overwhelming. 1 minute, 1 second after a man that dies without the Lord, amen, I believe that if he could, he'd give $1 million. What was the woman's name who years ago who had all the money, was a billionaire a few times over, and she grabbed the doctor doctor by the hand and said, "Doctor, if you'll give me 6 more months to live, I'll give you all the money I've got." He said, "Ma'am, I dispense medicine, but I cannot dispense time. Amen. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, it is the judgment." Hallelujah. He wanted to be a soul winner after he got saved. You see, the rich man, when he opened up his eyes in hell, first thing he tried to do was get out. And when he found out he couldn't get out, amen, the next thought on his mind was, "My brothers." Amen. "My brothers. My family. Oh, I don't want them to come to this awful place. I don't want them to come to this awful place." And he begins to try. He begins to try to figure out a way to be a soul winner. He begins to try to figure out a way to get his family to be saved. He tries to negotiate with Abraham. And he tries to get Abraham to get him back and to let him tell his brothers. I'm telling you, he doesn't have the ability to save his own soul. But he's going to do everything that a man in hell can do to try to save his brothers. I wonder, is there somebody in hell praying for you today? Is there somebody that you know? Is there a friend that you know that no doubt, amen, left this world and they're not with us today, but they're praying for your soul? Don't come to this awful place. Don't come to this awful place. I'm telling you, when I began to read this a long time ago, I saw some lessons that this man learned. And I thought to myself then, "Lord, if our church some way, somehow had the ability to go to hell and we could learn what this man already knows, how good would it be? What kind of soul winner would we be? Amen. If we learn the lessons, this man saw the reality of hell." Oh, we laugh about hell now. I mean, we just joke about it. It's just become a byword to some. But if we could only realize the reality of hell and the finality of this place called hell. Amen. If we could only learn that if God shuts a man out and puts him in this place because this man has shut God out of his heart. This man said no to God. This man said no to the gospel. He said no to the preaching. And God one day will shut him out of heaven because he shut God out of his heart. He learned that hell is a reality. And I would to God, you want to know what would get the church praying today? If you went to hell. Amen. If somehow or another you could go to hell, I wouldn't have to beg you to pray. You wouldn't have dust on your Bible. You wouldn't have dust on your Bible if I could get you somehow, some way. And I've heard preachers say this. I've heard preachers say that when they were lost, that God shook them over hell and showed them hell. I don't know, but I do know this. The woman that wrote the book on hell, amen, who said she went there, I didn't believe it. First of all, it contradicted the Bible. And God ain't going to contradict himself. But brother, if you ever did go to hell, amen, you wouldn't be missing church over some every little boo-boo that comes along. Amen. You'd be so faithful to the house of God. You'd be faithful to reading the Word of God. If God would somehow or another, amen, take you to this place called hell, it'd make a Christian out of you better. I believe it'd make a better saint of God out of you than we've ever seen. If we somehow could go to hell, we'd learn of the reality of this place called hell. He also learned the urgent necessity of somebody doing something to save sinners. When he opened up his eyes in hell, he got to thinking, "Oh God, somebody's got to do something." Now listen, I don't know if he'd ever been to church in his neighborhood. But Abraham said, no, they've got Abraham. They got Moses and the prophets. And oh, he said, "No, you don't understand. Ordinary church ain't going to get it done. That's my brother. That's my brother you're talking about. Amen. Oh, they 7 of them in our family. I've got 5 of us boys and 2 girls. Amen. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to see none of them go to hell. I wouldn't want to see none of them go to hell." And brother, this rich man said, "But Abraham, you don't understand. That's not just anybody. That's my brother. Amen. Those are my brothers. I got 5 of them. And I need somebody to reach them. And ordinary church ain't getting it done. Ordinary church hasn't reached them yet. And I want somebody to reach for my brothers. I want somebody to reach for my sisters. Brother, I'm telling you, we need to see the urgency of the gospel. We need to see the urgency of the preaching of the word of God and realize, amen, the burning message on the lips of the man that's in hell today is soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Above everything, I've got to be saved. Amen, above everything, I've got to be saved. Now, if the rich man learned all of this in hell, shouldn't you and I, amen, visit this place? Amen. Shouldn't you and I be allowed? Amen. God allowed Paul and he allowed John to be caught up into the heavens and they seen the reality of God. I read this one day and I began to pray, oh God, if you could cause a man to be caught up in the heaven, then surely you could cause a man to be caught down to see the flames of hell, to see the reality of hell, and to see the finality of this God awful place called hell. I'm telling you, if God would allow us, amen, to go into this place of the damned, I believe with all of my heart we'd pray more. I believe you'd throw that cell phone away and quit backbiting everybody. Amen. You wouldn't have to worry about you, amen, or talking about somebody running them down. Amen. If you could only, if God would only shake us over hell, we'd try to win the lost. You'd wake up. Spiritually, you'd wake up. Amen. That's why I say today that we need to visit this place. Amen. It's easier to preach on God's love. Oh, we don't like messages like this. Amen. It's easier to preach on the love of God. And I've heard people, why, you're just trying to scare folks into coming to the altar. Preachers tell them stories, especially holiness preachers and Pentecostal people. They'll get a scary story and they'll tell how so-and-so went to hell and try to scare people into hell. But brother, I'm telling you, 1 second in hell, you'd quit that ignorant talk. Amen. Because I'm telling you, if I could scare folks out of hell, I'd do it. If I have the ability to, amen, to scare people out of this God awful place, I would try to do it. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:7 that Noah moved with fear. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Fear. Amen. Me and my wife, I told you the other day, got married when I was 17. She was 19 years old. We began to talk then about, hey man, we're going to have a family. We're going to have children. And back then, it scared me. I was backslid as a goose, amen. But it scared me even then to think about having children and to bring them into this world. Amen. To bring a child into this world. And to watch. I remember years ago, we had several big gardens there in West Virginia. And I remember Brother Allen, Dad would be plowing that garden. His big old footsteps would be out here. And just as a little kid, Sister Love, I'd try to jump. And I was a following Dad. Amen. And oh, I'm glad Dad left me a clear path. I'm glad my dad left me, amen, the road to heaven. And he showed me how to get there. And he went there himself. But I couldn't imagine taking Cody by the hand and saying, come on, son. Amen. Want to go with Daddy? Amen. How many times have I walked out the door and my children say, I won't go with you, Daddy. I won't go with you. Well, come on. Amen. Come on, go with me. Oh, we're excited. I'm going with Daddy. Where are we going? Amen. Oh, just come on, follow me. Amen. Oh, and Daddy's a smoking and Daddy's a drinking. Amen. And Daddy's a doing anything he wants to do. Amen. No thought of that boy that's behind him. Amen. Where are we going, Daddy? For me to look at him and say, I'll tell you where we're going. Son, we're going to go to hell. I'm going to lead you to hell. I'm going to lead you to hell. I'm telling you, brother, oh no. Amen. I shiver at the thought of my children following me into hell. Noah moved with fear. If there's everything that ought to move us, it ought to be the fear and the safety of our children. I'm telling you, you'll pay the power bill because you want them children to have heat in the winter. You'll pay the power bill because you want them to have, amen, a cool air in the summertime. And we'll work our fingers to the bone and we'll work overtime and try to buy their clothing. But we won't lift one finger, amen, to prepare an ark to save the most important part. For you see, amen, this is just flesh. This is going to just turn to dirt and dust and it's going to be gone. But there's a soul that lives in the side of me that's never going to die. And every child in here has got a soul that's never going to die. And brother, we've got to move with fear. Mama and daddy, we got to move with fear. If we're going to save our children, we've got to move with fear to build an ark. That's what we're doing right here this morning. You may not even realize it, but being faithful to the house of God is building an ark to the saving of your house. You hear me? What you do moderately, your children will do excessively. Amen. If you don't think what you don't deem important, they're not going to think it's important at all. Hallelujah. Oh, you're passing it alone. Amen. I've told this story before, but I look back at my girl one time and I'm telling you, my wife will bear this record today. She was just a little tiny girl, just a baby. Hey, man, she got mad at her mama. And her mama turned around trying to talk to her. And she went. She got to looking out the window. Hey, man. And my wife kind of looked back at her. And she looked at me. And she said, where'd she get that at? Oh, God. You know why? Because they're watching us. I said, they're watching us. And they're following us. Amen. Every little boy. Amen. Oh, I remember as a kid. I remember standing there at kindergarten in the lunch line. And I remember saying, my daddy could beat your daddy up. And the boy would say, my daddy could whoop your daddy. Amen. Oh, amen. You're crazy. My daddy could beat up Godzilla. Amen. You know why? Praise the Lord. It's just natural. Amen. It's natural inside of every little boy and every little girl. Amen. Mamas and daddies, listen to me. They don't need the Britney Spears of this world to be their heroes. You ought to be their hero. You ought to be the one they look to. You ought to be the one, amen, that they put high on a pedestal and say, Mom and Daddy will tell me the truth. Amen. If nothing else, they'll tell me the truth. Told my wife this morning, I was getting ready for church. I heard a woman on the radio the other day talking about forgiveness. And she said that her mama, when she raised them, told them all of her life. She said, children, I want you to know something. Mama loves you. I love you with an everlasting love. And she said, this light, she had a fluorescent light on. And she said, this light represents my love for you. And I want you to know that as long as that light's turned on, amen, you're always welcome back home. You're always welcome home as long as the light's on. The girl was raised, she was a staunch Catholic lady. And she said, I done good until I went off to college. And when I went off to college, she got pregnant and started coming back home. And she got to thinking about how disappointed her mama was going to be. And she reminisced all the way, amen, down the bus on the ride home. Mama's going to be disappointed. Amen. But when she finally pulled in, she said she saw the light on and she walked in the house and she said, Mama, you're going to be disappointed. Amen. Why? She said, because I'm pregnant. She said, her mama, without any hesitation, ran over to where she was at and flung her arms out and hugged her and said, hate you. How could I hate you? You're my daughter and I love you. Hey, man, I love you. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, brother, if there's ever a place of safety, it ought to be our homes. If there's ever a place that our children should feel safe, it is in the house. But mamas and daddies all over this country do not realize what they're doing. Hey, man, when they're living half-hearted, hypocrites, hey, man, that don't want to serve God, they don't even realize what they're doing. But they are taking their children by the hand, and they are saying, without ever uttering a word, word. They're saying, follow me to hell. Follow me to hell. Amen. The fear of the Lord, Psalms 111 and 10, is the beginning of wisdom. Fear, it'll save your life. I say, I ain't afraid of nothing. We live in a day and hour. Folks so stupid. I say, I ain't no fear, no fear, no fear. Put t-shirts, no fear. I saw a little boy, I'm telling you, he was that big around. His arms looked like a noodle. No fear. I told my wife, I said, if you walk up and say boo, that boy would probably... No fear. But I want to tell you something. Fear will save your life. You know why you eat? Oh, we enjoy it. Hallelujah. Donnie told me a while ago, said, steak and taters after church. Amen. Buffet. Praise the Lord. You know why we eat? We're scared we're going to starve to death. Amen. If you don't eat, you're going to get hungry, and eventually you're going to die, because without food you can't eat. You can't live. Amen. We wear coats because we're afraid of catching a cold. We lock the door because we're afraid that somebody's going to walk in and you may have to shoot somebody. We don't want to do that. Amen. Our whole life is ordained on the principle of self-preservation. Amen. It's fear. Amen. It's fear. But I'm telling you, we're ministering to the body, but we are neglecting the soul. Amen. The rich man, he asked for a man to be raised from the dead because I want him to go and preach to my brothers. And I'm telling you, that's something we all could use, is compassion for those that are lost. Compassion for those who are not saved. Where has compassion gone? When the church can look out and say, I don't care. Amen. Tell you, for 15 years I've took the advice of a man from hell, and I've done everything I could do. I've given my life. I've started about 15 years ago of trying to warn men and women, don't go. Don't go. You don't want to go to hell. Amen. Little boy told us, he said, I'm going to party when I get there. I'm going to hell. Funny, and that's, you know, it's, and they laugh. But the man in the Bible, he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. I don't like living where I'm living. Amen. Let's sell this house. Get us another one. Just, we need to live somewhere else. Honey, I'm about tired of that car. What's wrong with it? Well, nothing. I just want another one. Old Bob up the road got him a new one. I want a new one. And the man said, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build me bigger barns. And the Bible said, he said, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. But you see, that's what he said. What kind of plans are you making? God said, thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, who's that truck going to go to? Who's that car going to go? Who's all that money in the bank going to go to? It's going to go to a bunch of kids that's ungrateful for going to raise you the way you raise them. They're going to hate each other. They're going to turn against each other because the way mom and dad raised them, they ain't going to have no respect one for another. And they're just going to tear each other down over a dollar. And whose are those that you have labored for? Stand with me this morning, if you will. Oh, God, help us here this morning. That's why you, and that's why I really should pray this morning. God, would you allow me to go to hell? I'm not talking about to feel the flames. I'm not talking about to go to hell to be punished for wrong that we have done. But God, would you let me go to hell so I can learn what this man learned? Would you allow me to go to hell and visit this place? Oh, we want to go to heaven. We want to visit heaven. Amen. We want to read books about heaven. We want to think about heaven. But I'm telling you, the only alternative to heaven is hell. Amen. The only other alternative is a place called hell. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you will. Amen. I wonder today, amen, is there one that would say, preacher, I want to know that I know, that I know, that I'm not going to this place called hell. Brother Chad, if you could come this morning, maybe please.